If you have your Bibles with you, please open up to James chapter 5, verse 13 to 20. Otherwise, you can follow along on the slides. James chapter 5, verses 13 to 20. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. This is the word of God.
Okay, if you don't have your Bibles open yet, that would be great. It would be really helpful. So I haven't said Happy Mother's Day. So if you're a mum, Happy Mother's Day. Mums are the best. My mum's the best. James 5. Please open your Bibles. If you don't know where it is, if you're new and you don't know, have a name of a Bible, there's one out the back. Just put your hand up. You can grab a Bible if you want. Put your hand up if you want a Bible. No? Okay, so please look onto a Bible somewhere near you, on your phones or wherever. This is a pretty tricky passage, so if you've done a Bible study on it, you've probably debated lots about it. So hopefully I can be helpful. A number of years ago, a friend of mine asked me to pray for her sister's family. Her sister had a daughter, pretty young, and she was diagnosed with brain cancer. And the mum and dad decided not to have surgery and not to have chemo and all the things that modern medicine might provide to try and heal their daughter. Instead, they opted to pray. No, we just trust God. In faith, we're just going to pray for our daughter. And they asked their church to pray for their daughter. And my friend's sister, you know, was like calling all of her friends to like be praying as well. So I remember like for quite a while, more than a month, I would pray almost every day for this young girl in earnestness, in fervently praying for this girl. But tragically, she died of the cancer. And I was in a bit of a faith crisis at that moment. I thought, well, what happened? Aren't you meant to answer that prayer, God? Like, isn't that in the scriptures somewhere? Like here in James, like when you pray, you're meant to get well? What's going on here, God? And so this is a pretty difficult passage, controversial perhaps. But what we believe about it, I think, has like pretty important implications for our lives and what we think about prayer, what prayer is and what it's meant to do. So with that in mind, I think it's so important we pray about this now. All right, let's pray. Almighty God, we come before you. You are the great God who is in control of all things. You have all power, all authority. and you love us, you died for us, and you've given us a hope beyond this life, an eternal hope, because Jesus did not stay dead. He conquered both sin and death. So we thank you for that. We thank you that through Jesus, we can come to you, we can pray to you, we have access to you, Lord. And just be with us now. Give us your spirit so that as we come to your word, we would know what it means. You help us to know what it means, Lord. And whatever errors I've made in this exegesis that I've done for this talk, Lord, just Lord, cover over it and pour your spirit into all of us. Help us to understand the core of what you want us to understand, Lord. And be shaped by it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so with that in mind, let's jump straight into the most difficult part of this passage, because I think that could be just where you get stuck. So I'd rather just try and get that out of the way first. So James chapter 5, verses 14 to 16 says this. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So, what does this passage mean? Well, on the surface, as I had believed when I was praying for my friend's daughter, that when you pray, sick people get well. That's what I believed. If you pray in faith, the sick will be healed. Is that what it means? Is that what you think it means? Well, I got to say, I wrestled and wrestled with this passage. And I've landed in a space where I feel fairly settled. And I'll let you know how I've come to it. So first of all, I did some word studies, and there's four words in particular we need to look at in these verses. The first word is the word sick in verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? That original word for sick here, it often means physical sickness, all right? And usually it means physical sickness. But it doesn't always mean physical sickness. It can mean other things that are related, not directly physical sickness, but related. So for example, so this is from Romans 8, verse 3. It says this, "For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering, and so he condemned sin in the flesh." So the word weakened in this verse is the same word, the same original Greek word in James chapter 5 verse 14 for sick, the word that I mentioned before. And so what Paul is saying here is that we could never be saved by obeying the law, because the law holds over us was weakened by the sinful nature. So you can see here that it's not necessarily physical sickness, physical illness, but this idea of being weakened, the power of the law weakened because of the sinful nature. So it could mean, the original word in verse 4, it could mean physical sickness, but not always. All right, it could mean a spiritual sickness perhaps. Now the second word is in verse 15. It's another word, it's sick, but it's a different Greek word, okay? And it's actually not the same at all. And again, it's sometimes translated as physical sickness, but actually about half and half in the New Testament. Sometimes it's not physical sickness. It's another sickness. It's spiritual weariness, or it's giving up, something like that. And that's what it's sometimes translated at. So it's not always physical sickness. And if you want examples, let me know. I'm just going to power through because it's going to take forever otherwise. And the next word is, in the Greek, it's make well. Make the sick person well. Verse 15. And again, that make well, that healing, doesn't necessarily mean physical healing, a healing of that has physical consequences, but rather, you know, the root word has to do with save, being saved in some way. So it's got quite a broad meaning. It's not only used in the context of saving someone from physical affliction, but it could be from various other things. And really, you don't know unless you read the context. And sometimes talking about being saved from sin, for instance. And then the last word I wanted to look at is the word at the end, healed. So again, it's the same thing. Physical could be physical, but often it's to do with spiritual healing. So four words that kind of like shape this passage. What does it mean? It could mean physical healing. It could mean spiritual healing or spiritual sickness, something like that. And that is what it could mean. So what is it? Which one is it? Is it physical healing or spiritual sickness? What is it? So that's, it could be either way. But how do we get closer to the answer if it could be either way? It's not just, oh, let's roll a dice and pick it, you know. So how we get closer to the answer whenever you have a tricky passage, you've got to look at the context. Context is so important to get us closer to the answer. So when you look at the previous verses to this passage, so look in your Bibles, hopefully you've got it open, verses 7 to 12, we see that James is talking about a patience in the face of suffering. You know, people were being oppressed and knocked around by a group of rich people. And the result was they were tempted to give up, to throw the towel in and say, you know, I'm done. And James is saying to them, no, no, be patient and remember the Lord's return. So it seems that the context prior to this passage here is it's talking about a spiritual kind of suffering, this suffering that has to do with giving up your faith, a spiritual suffering. It's a faith crisis. Now, if we look ahead in verses 15 to 16, back to our passage before, it gives us... Sorry, I've got to remember it's over there, not there. It gives us some more context. And we see that there's this clear link between prayer and healing. So if you look here in verse 15, that word prayer, the prayer offering in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they've sinned, they'll be forgiven. So if you pray, what happens? If they've sinned, they'll be forgiven. All right, so you get the link there. And then you see in verse 16, something very similar pattern happens. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray. Okay, same word, pray. Then what happens? So you've got sins. Your sins will be healed. So you see there's a pattern, right, that talks about pray, sins, healed, right? And so what does it mean? So in context, where I landed was that the healing, the sickness, And the healing that James is talking about could be physical, could be spiritual, but I landed on spiritual because of the context. Now, I don't know if that makes sense to you, if you agree with me. If you disagree with me, by the way, that's totally fine. I'm happy to have that kind of a debate with you, and it's not really something to argue about, but that's where I comfortably landed. If you landed somewhere else, that's okay. But for me, I was happy to land there, and it helped me solve the dilemma that I had when I was praying for that young girl who died. That when we pray, God doesn't always heal physical sickness. In fact, there will be a day when all of us will be physically sick with something, and that's going to kill us. All of us. That's the reality. We'll pray and we'll die. Someone will die. Like, and probably all of us have experienced that. But what is true is that when we earnestly and in faith pray for spiritual healing, for forgiveness of our sins, and we get on our knees before God and humbly seek God for forgiveness and reconciliation with God, that is a prayer that God answers. And so I was happy to land there, and I hope you're happy to land there as well. If you're not, that's okay. But I want to encourage you, if you didn't land there, there's more to this passage than just this tricky verse. So what I want to do now is pull back and look at this whole passage and see what James wants us to take away with us as he finishes this letter in the book of James. So there's two things about prayer that I think James really wants us to think about in this last bit of his letter. So two questions for us to answer. When should we pray? And why should we pray? When should we pray? And why should we pray? So when should we pray? I don't know if I put this slide up. No. Verse 13, look in your Bibles. It says, is anyone among you in trouble, let them pray. If anyone's happy, let them sing songs of praise. If anyone among you is sick, let them call the elders of the church to pray over them, anoint them, etc. So when should we pray? Basically, all the time. Prayer is not just something we do at a particular time of the day, although it is that, but it's more than that. Prayer is a way of life, and that's what I want you to take away. Prayer is a way of life. It's not just a part of what you do as a Christian, but it's the heart of who you are. Prayer is just who you are as a Christian. You're a prayerful person. And whether you're happy or sad, pray to God. Whether you're in trouble or sick, pray to God. It's not something you do just in a particular time of the day, but prayer is your relationship with God, your dependence upon God. There is no situation where prayer is not appropriate, because prayer is really sharing all of yourself, sharing your life with the one who is watching over your life, the one who is your ever-present help in trouble, the one who made you, the one who saved you and redeemed you and bought you and now lives in you because of his son. That's the God that we pray to. I'll never forget the eulogy of a former Bible college lecturer. And the eulogy came from his son, one of his sons. And his son said his father walked with God. It just seemed like he walked with God. And he said that often he would be like chatting with his dad about something, whatever it was, and his dad in conversation would suddenly just break out in prayer. He would slip in and out of conversation, into prayer, out of prayer, into conversation. And he would often just pray and talk and pray It was like prayer and his communion, his intimacy with God was just part and parcel of who he was. And prayer was the conduit that gave him this intimacy with God and connected him with the heavenly, with his heavenly Father. And I remember like listening to this eulogy and I thought, I want that. I want that kind of intimacy with God, that kind of connection with God. And I wanted that sort of a prayer life where I'm just praying and walking with God in my life. But I'll admit before you all now that my prayer life is far from that ideal. You know, I want that sort of communion with God, but honestly, my prayer life is often like sporadic. My prayer life is often like rushed, routine, robotic. Instead, you know, I think I want that intimacy, and I think we all want that, don't we? To have that intimate, personal, deep relationship where we're just walking with God every day. I want to be quicker to thank God when things go well. I want to be quicker to praise God when I'm happy. I want to be quicker to ask God for help when I'm in need for something. I want to be quicker to confess my sins to God. I want to be quicker to share my wins and celebrations with God. I want to be quicker to connect and open my heart to God and say, God, this is what's going on. Whatever it is, happy or sad, to have this intimacy with God. There's nothing like more important, I reckon, than to have that sort of relationship with God. I think we all would love to have that sort of a prayer life, right? And part of the reason we don't is because we often forget why we should pray. So that's the next question that we need to think about. Why should we pray? Well, firstly, prayer is powerful and effective. And it says in verse 16, at the end of verse 16, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Why is prayer powerful and effective? Well, it's not because we are great and we are powerful, but it's because God is great, because God is powerful. And all of that power resides in the one that we pray to. When we pray, we are praying to a God who is the only eternal, almighty, or powerful, all authority. Like all of that resides in this one being of the universe. We are alive and breathing this very moment because of this God of the universe. All, everything exists and is sustained by this God. He's the powerful one. And to illustrate this dynamic, he gives us this example in verse 17 of the prophet Elijah. And Elijah was, you know, he was a prophet of the Old Testament. And yeah, he was pretty special, but James reminds us, as special as a prophet is, he's just another human being. He's just another person like you and me. That's in reality who he was. Like God exists on another level that no other human being even comes close. A prophet is still just a human being created by God. And yet, this person, human being, Elijah, prayed, and God answered Elijah's prayers in incredible ways. He prayed that it would not rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and then the rain came down and it ended the drought. But he was just a human being. It's not that Elijah was powerful. but the God he prayed to was powerful. The power of our prayers comes from the God who answers our prayers. And he's our Heavenly Father, isn't he? And this is the thing that should spin us out, you know, when we pray, like that God would even listen to us. You know, every day, millions and millions of people are praying to God. And you're praying to God, I'm praying to God, and yet God, when we pray, like he tunes in to what we say to him. He's listening to us. This almighty, all-powerful God of the universe is saying, I'm listening to you now. I'm hearing what is going on in your life, in your heart. I'm listening to your prayers. This God who says, you are my child because of my son. You've accepted him and now I'm listening to you. I love you. And I want to answer your prayers. That's so awesome, isn't it? That's why we should pray. Now, Elijah's prayer was pretty awesome. He prayed and God did, you know, he controlled the weather basically through his prayer. So it's a powerful result and an effective result. Very effective, you like it. You know, it's like, you know, if my son came to me one early morning and I'm like, you know, like, quickly, Dad, I got to get to school, but can you make me some, like, you know, ricotta hotcakes or something? And I'm like, you got no chance, son. Like, you know, but yeah, there's a cereal box over there and, you know, just pour some milk, right? It's like not a very, I'm not going to answer that too well, right? But, you know, our prayers to God are powerful and effective. God can do great things with our prayers, even heal. I'm not a cessationist, even though, you know, I landed where I did with this passage. But I really believe that sometimes we pray for physical healing or even like mental healing, emotional healing. God answers some of those prayers. He's powerful enough to do that. He's the God of the universe. He can answer any of those prayers. And he answers in effective ways, doesn't he? If he's truly God, if he wills it, it will be done. As the almighty creator of the universe. So, why does sometimes we pray and yet it seems like our prayers are not that effective, not that powerful? In fact, we wonder why God doesn't answer some of our prayers. Well, there could be a number of reasons, but in the end, it's got to do, at least in this passage, it's got to do with, at least I think, righteousness. You know, the prayer, the adjective there is righteous. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And you can flip it around and say, well, if you're not right, the prayer of an unrighteous person is not going to be powerful and effective. So what does that mean? What does the word righteous mean? Well, it could be a number of things, actually. It could be like a description of character, perhaps. So, you know, a righteous kind of a person. You know, somebody who's like a godly kind of a person, you know, kind of humble, perhaps. But I think it has to do with someone standing with God. They're standing with God. The person who is righteous is the one who has a right relationship with God. And it's because of this right relationship with God that God actually hears our prayers and answers our prayers. It's because of Jesus that we are righteous. Remember that. It's not because of ourselves, because of what we've done. We've earned our righteousness. We've done this, did that. We were good enough to earn God's ear. It's not that at all. But it's because of Jesus, what he's done. He's the one who makes us right with God. And that is why when we come to God, he hears us. And scripture tells us when Jesus died on the cross, he breathed his last, what happened? The curtain in the temple in the most holy place from top to bottom was like torn. In other words, now, because of Jesus, we have this kind of access into the very presence of God. Once upon a time, only the most high priest could go to this most holy place. And only after he made sacrifices for himself and risked his own life, he could maybe go into the most holy place and come out alive, perhaps. Only he could do that. But God is saying now through Jesus, like all of us, the curtain's now torn. We all can have through Jesus this kind of an access to God. So that's why we can pray. Because of Jesus, we can be confident that he hears our prayers. We can be confident because we have this great access to God. This incredible access to the living God of the universe. You know, I love this image of President Kennedy, you know, the most powerful man at the time on planet Earth. You know, I don't know what he's doing, giving directions to someone to something, get me a coffee or something, I don't know. but I love how his son, that's JFK Jr., by the way, is just sitting there, the feet where his dad in the White House, like he's the most powerful man on the planet, and yet his son has this beautiful access. Nobody has better access to this man than his son. Like, just like, dad, can I have this? And dad's just gonna go, yeah, you want it? You got it. Like, that is the sort of access that we have with God because of Jesus. The curtain is torn. I love you. You have become my son, my daughter. And when you pray, I want to listen to you. I love you. I want to hear you. I want to answer your prayers. But get this, not the way that you might perhaps want, but I want to answer your prayers in what I believe is best for you. And that's how God answers our prayers. So let me encourage you to pray with great confidence, because you have great access to a great God. Pray with confidence because you have great access to a great God. That's what I want you to take away today. Now, let me finish with this. If there's one thing we should pray about, let me just, is there a blank? No, let me just go to a blank page so it's not so distracting. Last, is one thing to pray about. Have a look there. The last two verses of James's letter, it says there, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring the person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. So as we've worked through the letter of James, it seems, I think, pretty apparent that James is writing to a church. It's a young church, but they're exiles, right? We're told in the beginning, you know, enduring all this persecution and trials, scattered around the place because of persecution, and wondering if it's worth following Jesus still because of all the trials. And James is spelling out, this is how to live the Christian life. And all these situations, you know, you want to know how to be a Christian? You got to listen to God's word. You want to know how to be a Christian? Well, you just can't say you have faith. You got to put it into practice. You want to be a Christian? Well, how you speak matters. So all these things, this is how you be a Christian in this world now. And one of those things is to persevere. And yet, what has probably happened, if you read the last two verses, is that some have wandered from the truth because of those trials. And I think all of us probably know someone who would used to call themselves a Christian. And maybe did great things for the church and for God. But they're not here anymore. They're not following God anymore. And if there's one thing we should pray about, let's pray for them. Let's really pray for our friends who aren't here anymore. Because they need God. They're so lost without God, right? Let's pray for them. You know who they are. You were perhaps friends with them once. So I want to encourage you, like, pray for them. And why don't we try and do what these verses are saying? And reach out to them and encourage them. Hey, let's grab a coffee. Let's chat about, like, where you're at. You know, I missed you. Like, I used to love hanging out with you at church. But where you at? Like, what's going on in your life? And encourage them. Like, come back to community. Come back to God. So, let's pray for those people. And maybe, like, June, July is a great opportunity for you to invite them to come and say, hey, look, give God another go. If you feel like this world is not working out for you, and probably it's not, because there's a lot of trouble out there, give God another go. The other thing is, some of you are sitting here and your prayer life may be pretty bad, pretty dry. I don't know. I would say there's a good chance that some of you haven't prayed to God, like really prayed to God, in a while. You might not even remember when you really last prayed to God. And you're wondering, like, how do I reconnect to God? How do I really get that sort of connection and intimacy that I really long for? Well, reach out, first of all. Like, come chat with Rev Ying, Pastor Dan and myself. We'd love to sit with you, love to pray for you, pray with you, and help you reconnect with God. But really, like, it's just remember the prayer which God answers. When you, in your spiritual sickness, in your spiritual weakness, reach out in prayer to God and say to God, here I am. I feel so distant from you, God. Please help me. And as you pray that, God will answer that prayer. But how do you start? How do you start? It starts with one word, and that's just Father. Because God is your Father. You have become His child through His Son. So I want to encourage you now, like, if you haven't prayed for a very long time, then maybe what you could do is write your thoughts down, write your prayer down, and read that prayer out, like, earnestly in your heart. You know, if, like, trying to make up a prayer on the spot is difficult for you, write it out and say, God, this, write out what's going on in your heart and your walk with God. And pray it earnestly before God. I want to encourage you to do that. I don't know if you're going to do that, right, when you go home. So what I want to do now is I'm just going to pause for about a minute. And if you, and why don't we all write a prayer down? Just write whatever is going on. Let's all just write a prayer down. And we all want to connect with God, don't we? We all want to grow deeper in our relationship. I want to grow deeper in my relationship with God. And prayer is the conduit that connects us with Almighty God. So let's all write a prayer down. And I'm going to close in prayer in a moment. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Thank you so much that we can come to you and know that you are listening to us. Thank you that it's not in our strength or in our power. It's not because we are good enough, but it's because of your grace. It's because of your mercy through your Son, Jesus, that our sins are forgiven, that we have been made right through his blood, right with you. We've become your children, and you've become our Father, and you love us like your very own, and you hear us, and you answer our prayers, and you give us your very best. We thank you, Lord. Thank you that you know what's good for us more than we do even. Thank you that you answer our prayers for our good, so that our faith might grow, that we might be able to persevere and one day meet you face to face in heaven, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.